call the Public Safety Subcommittee of Ways and Means to order. We are going to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 5533, which is the Oregon Military Department. Just so everyone knows, the chair's intent is not to move this particular budget today. We're going to work session list of what we can work, and then we're going to shelf it. So that's the plan. So, Susan, you want to go?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. Just to refresh your memory, the governor's recommended budget was $71.2 million, $13 million or 15.7% less than the 0103 legislatively approved expenditure level. And in front of you, you have my memorandum with lots of tables in it that I'm going to go through one by one. The first table is a historical look at the agency's budget with the LFO recommended dollars in it, just for comparison purposes. And the first item that I'm going to direct you to is the recommended budget changes, the technical adjustment table at the bottom of the page. We're taking inflation out of the agency's budget for a total of $622,146. In the administration operations and community support programs as identified, these are the co-chair directed reductions. Merit increases, which results in a compensation freeze for employees for a total of $678,813. Vacancy savings, there's an error in the table. The community support is one vacant position that I'm recommending taking. So the numbers are reduced slightly. The other position is already taken in another package that you can take credit for, but it's already gone in the base numbers. So the total there is $161,371. Let me tell you, in community support other fund, it should say $21,729, and federal funds $55,784. For a total other fund of $105,587 and federal funds of $55,784. And then the Attorney General assessment is $9,848 total funds, and the DAS assessment is $74,941 total funds. And on the second page, there is I think what I will ask you to do is to move the technical adjustments except for the vacancy savings at this point, and then I want to talk a little bit more about vacancy with you.
Okay.
Would you like to make... Do you want to move it?
Be happy
We're not in work session.
No, we're not in work session.
Oh, we're not?
Do you want to go to work
we
session?
We have to be in a work session because that's what we published.
No, we posted public hearing.
Okay. So it's work session.
Okay.
Sorry.
So we'll open the work session.
Never 5533.
Hey, believe.
Now we got past that.
So you want to repeat all that again?
No, I will just refer back to my rambling before the work session started.
Okay.
Representative Pepperidge, do you want to take them one by one, or do you just want to go through it until you have a problem and...
Well, I think we can go through it, and I think people know the reason we're going to hold part of this is the youth challenge fee. I want to hold it at least for a little while until we have discussions about the youth challenge fees and the scholarship program.
Okay, well, these are items that don't affect that, so you can make a motion and approve a technical adjustment.
Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just had a question about the technical adjustments, actually.
Okay.
And that is that in terms of merit increases, which would be the normal step increases, this would not impact in any way any of the military personnel, I mean, that are actually federal employees, right?
That's correct.
That's correct. State. It would only be the state.
That's correct.
Okay.
Right. Move the technical amendments.
Okay. Representative Hansen moves the technical amendments as indicated in item number one as per the oral adjustments made by Ms. Jordan on her May 13th memo of 2003. Any objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
Okay. And then just for your information, I've summarized for you the vacancy of vacancies in this agency. There are a total of 69 vacancies. Of those, 42 were identified as in the category for critical to health, welfare, and public safety. And of those, 36 are in recruitment or now filled. Two are to be abolished in a reclassification finance package that is under review at this time. And there are two seasonal positions which will be filled when the season dictates it. Then there were two in the category for necessary to maintain essential program oversight, and those two were seasonal positions that are also to be abolished in that reclass package that is under review. And 22 of the positions are in policy option package that are already abolished in 15 already abolished in the governor's balanced budget. 7, which are 100% federal funds, are approved in the governor's balanced budget. And then 2 are being held vacant to fund priorities, and I recommended reduction of those 2 positions.
Okay. Representative Butler.
Thank you. So the actual of the 69 total vacancies, 42 will be filled.
Yes.
As being they're subject to being filled because they're critical to health, welfare, and public safety. 2 are necessary to maintain the essential plan oversight, and 22 won't even be considered because they're in a policy option package. And what are the last two? What's your expression on those two at the very bottom?
These two at the bottom are actually one's a position in administration that isn't filled and isn't going to be filled. And the second one is a youth challenge program position that's not filled, that the agency, because of the downsizing of the program there, they don't need that position. And it's actually not a position that they want to use in that classification. So they would be, as the program, as we get better idea of how the program is going to fall out after we get the information from Congress on whether or not they're going to pass the bill to change the fund split from 75 to 25, the number of students that are going to be able to participate in the program and the amount of average daily membership, the department plans to go in and do some restructuring of the way their employees are carrying out the responsibilities, and then we'll be asking for a different mix of positions. So it doesn't make any sense to keep them at this point.
But are we abolishing the positions then at this point?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Chair, there's no way that I can get that whole figure, 42 plus 2 plus 22 plus or minus 2, to count 69.
42 to 22. You're right. I'll have to look at my tables.
All right.
It's close, though.
Yeah. Colonel Caldwell, do you have any idea what the federal, what they're doing federally, or what the timing is on the decisions on the youth challenge?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, Colonel Mike Caldwell, Deputy Director of Military Department. The youth challenge is... currently, there's a bill that's been introduced in both the House and the Senate, which is the same bill has been introduced 3 years running in the Senate, but never both in the House and the Senate. And it appears to have a lot more support than it has in the past from everything we're seeing. And that bill would have a graduation from the 60-40 split that's currently in place to 75-25 to become 75-25 federal by 2006, I believe it is.
Okay.
5 or 6. Everything that we're seeing is very positive. It's the most positive we've seen it for some time. And our conversations with the people that are lobbying for it and talking to the people that make the decisions, it seems to have great support. So we're anticipating that's going to, I hope we're not overly optimistic, but we think that we're anticipating that it'll be in effect after October, and in which case then we have to reshuffle how we're proceeding with our limited operation currently.
Okay. So how do we want to do this? Do we want to come back and
You don't need to do anything.
This
that
piece
was just
later.
Information.
Okay. You want to go through the policy packages?
Mm-hmm. The first policy package is numbered 203 on page 3. To establish 5 federally funded operations program positions. The positions will address encroachment issues at agency facilities throughout the state and implement a federally required environmental management program for $598,238, 100% federal funds, and I recommend approval.
Okay. We have a motion for policy package number 203. The amount of Senator Devlin moves policy package number 203 in the amount of $598,238 in federal funds limitation. Any objection? Seeing none, so ordered. Go ahead, Susan.
Okay. Policy package 206 is to increase the expenditure limitation in anticipation of increases in support from the National Guard Bureau for repair and maintenance of Army Guard facilities at federally supported installations of $2.6 million federal funds. I recommend approval. The agency has a history of getting additional funds from the federal government for maintenance at these federally supported facilities and is likely to receive them again, so I'm recommending approval.
Senator Devlin moves approval of policy package number 206 in the amount of $2.6 million. Is there any objection? Seeing none, so ordered. Policy package 210.
Package 210 establishes one position to add a custodian at the Portland Air National Guard Base. The agency had been using prison labor, and because of security concerns following September 11th, they're not allowed to use those that labor for those tasks any longer, and so they're requesting an employee that is also 100% federally funded at $52,202. I recommend approval. There is a 80% federal funds. There is a 20% state match that will be funded by shifting $12,978 general fund from services and supplies to personal services. So from within their base budget.
Senator Devlin moves policy package 210 in the amount of $52,202. Any objection?
Mr. Chair, just a question. The $12,978 is already within the services supplies line that we'll be considering. Is that correct?
Currently, yes.
Right.
And by approving this action, it moves to personal services for this position.
And will we damage in any way the services and supplies by removal of the $13,000?
Well, the agency will tell you that they can always use more money in services and supplies to, you know, maintain their facilities, but they're able to manage it.
Okay. It's a good trade-off.
Colonel Caldwell just said for the record that it's a good trade-off. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, it's a very worthwhile trade-off given our circumstances.
Given the paramount need for security.
Yes, sir.
All right. Representative Hansen.
I'd just like to point out in this total budget, Representative Butler's district is getting a new armory. I'm getting a new custodian, so I think it would be, you know, we're seeing how the balance is created here.
At least your armory will be clean.
Right? Yeah.
All right. Cleanliness is close to godliness. Is the objection. Thank you. Seeing none, so ordered. Policy package 210 is approved.
And package 213 is to establish a family readiness and support services coordinator position at the Portland Air National Guard Base. The position will establish and provide an ongoing effort to focus on family readiness and support. This is 100% federal funds, $94,191, and I recommend approval.
Senator Devlin, this policy package number 213, the amount of $94,191. Is there any objection?
I got a question, Mr. Chair. This family readiness and support service, is that for military personnel? Is that for the community at large? If that's for military support personnel, how many does that position fund?
Colonel Caldwell, do you want to answer?
Does it support?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, presently that is designed to support this Portland Air Base.
Correct. Yeah, we've got
1,500 Air National Guardsmen, roughly, that would support and their families. It does not necessarily have a community outreach portion to it, but yet it, by nature of the job, it does. It's in the past been done by volunteers, which has become unworkable given the massive call-ups that we've had, both the Air Guard and the Army Guard. So we're very much looking forward to that.
Thank you. Representative Hansen needs some help because the jets are taken off over by his Congo. So. He had good stories for me. All right. Any objection on policy package number 213? Hearing none, so ordered. Now we're on to item number 3, which is
capital
construction. Susie.
Correct. Package 499 it will provide $1.2 million federal funds to be used for construction of range towers, a latrine, and road improvements at the Boardman bombing range, and $825,000 federal funds for planning, design, and construction of a new dining facility at Camp Rylea. This is $3,225,000 federal funds. I recommend approval for the capital construction bill, which is not part of the agency's budget bill. That's a separate bill that will be heard separately. So what you're approving here is a recommendation to that subcommittee to include that project in the capital construction bill.
Okay. Susie, how does 1.2 and 825? This number's the 3,225?
If that's only part of it.
Okay.
There's more. That's just a summary.
Something called Will.
Okay.
Make sure we didn't get.
Yeah. All right.
Mr. Chair, I move package 499.
Representative Butler moves. Capital construction budget package number 499 in the amount of $3,225,000 in federal funds. Any objection? Seeing none, so ordered. Susie?
The second item is not was not presented with the agency request. They've asked that this be brought to the table to amend the 1995 capital construction bill. After discussions with the agency, we've decided that it would probably be better to come before the committee as an emergency board type action, but I wanted to present it to you here anyway. Just for your information, there's a spreadsheet in front of you that the agency has prepared that details the project costs and some of those components. And I think I'll just let them explain it to you now and hold a recommendation until the emergency board type information comes before the committee.
Colonel Caldwell, do you want to explain what this... I mean, this is a Eugene facility, I think, that you've been battling there for quite a while.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct. The situation in Eugene is kind of in a moving target for some time. And the situation we ended up in was that the piece of property that we had selected and purchased in conjunction with the county for exchange for our armory, it just became unworkable with respect to the community filing lawsuits against us at every turn, even though we think that we fit there. But it, so now we're faced with a dilemma that either we spend copious amounts of dollars fighting these people in every court that's available to them, and they took us both to federal and state court, and each time we were, the first go-around we won each one, they appealed each one, now we're headed for the Ninth Circuit Court. We looked at the dollar values and going to court, and versus just extracting ourselves from this dilemma and moving to a different site. So we chose the latter, which was to look for a different site. We've currently made a tendered an offer to the owners of a site in Springfield, and that's being discussed with them presently. We had hoped to come here today with a bird in hand, but they have not gotten back to us. We didn't give them their full offer, so they're debating that. The owners are. Our intention is to land that site. It's inside the urban growth boundary. Springfield's very accommodating as opposed to Eugene. And so we've found that this is a much better location. given those circumstances. It is not the best ideal location, perhaps, for our long-term benefit with respect to being close to adult students, which was kind of the idea of the first particular property right across from LCC. And LCC at the time wanted to cooperate with us to try to utilize them, not unsimilar to what we're trying to do in Ontario. Since then, LCC has changed direction. Their leadership has changed. Their attitudes have changed. And they're not near as accommodating as they once were when we first went into this arrangement. So it's our best interest to move out to this other site, build the facility. We have $8.3 million that has currently been appropriated by the federal government for this project. It's probably little less than one-third of the total required. And this is a joint project with the Marine Corps and the Navy Reserve as well. So our intention is to secure this property, which is, I believe, 30 acres, 30 acres, I can't recall, and construct an organizational maintenance shop using that $8.3 million, far less than that, and also do the other site development. We have a requirement to execute on those dollars, or we'll probably never see the other two-thirds of the money. Congress has been real stingy with projects that don't get executed. And this one's sitting here because originally we had one building that included the OMS shop, our maintenance shop, and the facility. This new site lends itself to having a separate shop, which works very nicely. So that's kind of the long and short of it. We think this is the best option. Don't pay lawyers. Just move on and go where we can get the biggest bang for our buck.
Colonel Caldwell, just to clarify the record, these funds can't be used elsewhere. You couldn't use them for another armory or...
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, that $8.3 million has to be spent in Lane County. It's for Lane County Armed Forces Reserve Center. If we could move them, we would have a long time ago.
I understand. Senator Devil.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I understand your recommendation, and I probably concur with your recommendation, but what have been your expenses thus far on the Lane Community College site? And do you actually own the property there?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Devlin, we do own the property. There's $580,000 been expended for the property, which we intend to sell. We have no value. It has no value to us at this point. We also think there's some wetland credits that might be able to be sold through a DEQ program. I'm not real familiar with that, but there are some other values to it that we could probably dispose of even prior to selling it, so we're looking at those options. We have probably close to $200,000 in environmental studies that we've been forced to do. We have probably another, and I'm guessing here, but I'm going to say $500,000 to $600,000 in a design that probably most of which can't be salvaged. And we probably have got to be at least some other lawyers. Yeah. Lawyers at this point, I'm going to say somewhere less than $200,000, probably closer to $100,000. The environmental studies that was federal money. The design was federal money. The portion of the lawyers was federal money. The state dollars involved in this would be the purchase of the property, $580,000, and some of the attorney fees. I can't give you an absolute breakdown, but it's most generally been paid by the federal government. We consulted with them all the way through this. We weren't doing this blindly. And we finally came to the conclusion with Guard Bureau that this is a bridge too far, and it's going to cost too much money to land that site. Which is really instrumental in our making that determination. So from the state standpoint, we can hopefully recover what state money we have into this at this point, or a good portion of it, except for the lawyer fees.
Further questions? Bill, did you have something on
this? Mr. Chair, just Bill McGee from DAS for the record. This issue really came forward as a request within the last few days, and as you see, the request here is really to increase what was about a $15.5 million project back in 1995, we bought a $36 million project. We don't necessarily have concerns, we just don't have enough information to make a recommendation for you, so that's why we're suggesting we go the E-Ward route and you defer your recommendation for the time being.
Well, until we resolve some other issues, the Chair is willing to, if we get something in hand, willing to entertain looking at that, Bill, if you guys are comfortable, and LFO is comfortable, so we got a little bit of time. All right. So we're gonna pass over on that one, and we'll deal with that one later should that opportunity arise. If not, we will, I think, make a recommendation per Susie's recommendation in the budget. We're going to skip over item number 4.
Yes, and go on to number 7.
We're going to go all the way to number 7. Susie, go ahead.
These are the subcommittee recommendation on performance measures. There were no issues or changes requested by the subcommittee during the public hearings. And you can find the measures on page 57 of the budget document or on page 41 or 42 of the presentation document binder, which you have in front of you, behind the O and P tabs.
41 or 42?
Yeah, O and P. And I'm recommending approval of the performance measures as presented.
It doesn't look too worse for her. I'd take a motion on the performance measures unless somebody has some questions about them. Senator Devlin moves the approval of the two performance measures which were presented by the military department. Any objection to those two performance measures? Seeing none, so ordered.
Okay, the last thing that I have is a review of the other fund's ending balance. The co-chairs have asked all the subcommittees to take a look at the ending balance of the agency in adopting the legislative fiscal office's recommendations for the technical adjustments. You change the ending balance equivalent of 3.2 months of operating expenditures to 5.5 months. And given the uncertainty surrounding the restructuring of the Youth Challenge Program, their facility maintenance requirements, LFO believes that the public is best served by retaining those additional dollars in the department's ending balance rather than building it back into the budget or potentially transferring it to the general fund. There's always been concern that this agency is running really close to its funding levels and often is required to come back to the emergency board during the interim for emergency funds to fix a roof or repair buildings that have gotten away from them. So okay. That's my recommendation.
I don't think we have to vote on that recommendation or not.
I don't think that's
what we typically voted on. Anyone have any questions about that? Any fund balance, the appropriateness of it? People have served on the emergency board, but following the emergency board action, definitely know what Ms. Jordan is talking about. So. All right. With that, any other questions for the department at this point in time?
More information that you'd like to bring back when we bring the budget back?
Could we have some numbers, though, Susie, on the scholarship program and the amount? No, Pablo, do you have those numbers?
Yes, sir.
That was an issue for the committee.
Yes, sir. You may have noticed the article in the Oregonian yesterday that brought this up for the letter to the editor, but as you know, we curtailed the tuition assistance program, the state tuition program. Just some background, there's 754 people enlisted under that program since 97. 468 actually showed up for at least one class. 145 are active with this term and last term. 54 of that 145 will complete their fourth year at the end of this spring term. So we have 67.5% of the active participants attending the four-year college or university. 32.5% attended community colleges, which saved us some money. $842 was paid per full-time student at a term, each term at a four-year institution, and $540 was paid per full-time student at a community college per term. Presently, out of the 91 that are currently enrolled that are still going to be either not a senior, 27% of them or 24 of them have switched over to the federal tuition assistance program, which is sucking up most of that cost. Not totally, but pretty close. What we have, the last time we met, if you recall, I think there was $53,000 left in that account from the fifth special session. Our plan is, at this point, is to work each one of these 91. We're not enlisting anybody underneath it any longer. So we're going to work each one of the 91s, try to move them over who are eligible for the federal, put them under the federal umbrella so they get funding that way. Those that aren't, then we'll try to see what we can do within that $53,000 carryover into that account to see if we can't take care of them to get them through their last 2 years of commitment that we made to them. So we're thinking, without any monumental shifts here, as we get the data more refined with respect to these 91 students, that we will probably be able to satisfy that that commitment. Our commitment was for 2 years at a term. Never did we make a four-year commitment. We said if the legislature did approve the additional 2 years for your last two, we would have the money. And so I think we're going to get there if we continue on with the track we're on.
Okay. Senator Devlin?
Mr. Chairman. Colonel Caldwell, my specific concern, and I don't know if we need to modify anything that's in the budget before we pass it out later in this session, is simply that you and others feel that that you've kept the commitment that was made and you have adequate resources to do that. If ultimately you just simply inform the committee of that, I'll be satisfied at that point. I just don't want you to be at a point where you feel you're not keeping a commitment that was made.
Now, Mr. Chairman, Senator Devlin, that's precisely the direction we were trying to follow. Some of these students, unfortunately, are not going to be eligible for this federal tuition assistance for one anomaly or a reason or another, depending on when they joined and what was offered by the feds at that time, et cetera, et cetera. And those are the ones that we got to carve out of this 91 students that we know are going to school. These kids are attending, and we got to take care of them. Now, having said that, as you can tell by the indication of the numbers, 754 people enlisted under it, 468 of them actually went to at least one class, but only 145 of them are actively participating in the program. And we have sent letters out to each one of those individuals who are the 754 or the 468, however you want to look at that big number. We sent letters to them and said, you are no longer eligible because you have not participated in over 2 years. And we haven't seen any backlash or anything of the sort. They've obviously chosen to go do something else. Now, even we did tell them in that letter, if you do decide you want to go to school, then you come see us because you can get up to 75% of your class paid for by the federal government if you take one class or up to a 10-hour student. Once you go over 10, you become a full-time student and fall into a different category. So we've got means by the federal government side of the house to assist these kids. So we're not leaving them in a lurch. And if we have any of those, and if anybody hears about it, let us know, because we're working on one at a time, basically, to get them satisfied and get them taken care of.
Colonel Caldwell, when do you expect you're going to have that updated to make a decision on whether we need to provide any funding into the upcoming biennium to fulfill the commitment that the state and the military department have made?
Mr. Chairman, this data was we just got this data back, and some of this, I don't want to dodge your question, but some of it was rather difficult to obtain because we had a lot of students at Southern Oregon University who went off on the Sinai deployment who are somewhere in between, you know, being taken care of and not being taken care of. And we have other students, so the 101.62 are currently in Kuwait, and those are the ones we're having difficulty with trying to get all of their particular each situations.
But in terms of rescheduling this budget, when do you think you can have
it? I think we can probably have it within 2 to 3 weeks. Because we've made inquiries to the command, and we said we've got to have this data. And that's the problem is they're having is trying to reach these kids that are in Kuwait and the ones that are just getting back from Sinai.
So let Mr. McGee and Ms. Jordan know when you've completed that so we can then make plans to schedule your budget.
Probably in 2 weeks we could give you a by-name accounting of each one.
Well, I don't need a by-name accounting. I just want to make sure we're fulfilling our commitment that
we
made.
We're breaking it down that tight, though.
Representative Hanson.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a real important commitment, and I can certainly concur with everyone else on that. I'm wondering if to just to cover us, if there could be a budget note. It sounds like the funds that are there are either adequate or pretty close to adequate. But I would certainly, if there was an extra $17,000 or something like that, I would hoped they could either have authorization to spend some either their own other money or a way to get it from the emergency board when it becomes clear exactly what the details are. But maybe we'll have, maybe that won't be necessary.
Well, if we don't, if we can't get our arms around it in 2 weeks, let's talk about doing that budget note. But we'll give you 2 weeks to look at that.
So, yes, sir, we should have, like I say, by name accounting in 2 weeks.
Okay. Any other questions of the committee that the committee had in regard to the budget? Anything else? DAS? Phone Caldwell? General Berger?
Glad to be here.
Thank you, gentlemen. We certainly appreciate you being here today. All right. At that, we will close the work session, and we are going to recess the committee. Just before I do, we have DPSST, or Judicial Fitness Commission. And then Thursday's DPSST. If anyone's got any issues on the Judicial Fitness Commission,
I think we'll work through some of that. I think each of you have been lobbied individually and independently
on that Judicial Fitness Commission.
So with that, we are closed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.